That's a gay ass podcast.
What? That's a gay ass podcast.
A what?
A really, really, really gay podcast that we call That's a Gay Ass Podcast.
That's a gay ass name for a gay ass podcast.
Peru Flores, I feel like I've seen war, but the fact that Halloween is over, can we celebrate that?
Let's celebrate. It's like, you know, at the end of Cult Mountain when Nicole Kidman finally sees Jude Law. Inman, Inman, and you're Inman. It's you, Eric, you're Inman.
I was hoping you'd have a Cold Mountain reference within 2 seconds, and you did. And I, for all the listeners who are watching, I look and sound like this because I feel like I have been through war. I was out very late last night at my final Halloween party, and once the paywall goes up, I'll talk about why I was out so late. But before we get there, Peru, happy gay ass Sunday to you. How has your, have you had a slutty weekend? Has it been chaste and straight? How's it been going?
Really scared straight is the word. Based on the straight costumes and straight people out for Halloween. You know, New York City, Halloween is definitely not just like gay Christmas, but just New York City Christmas, really.
Oh my God, can I tell you something? I went out in for the first time in West Hollywood for Halloween on Friday night, on the actual Halloween holy day, and it reminded me of New York City in a bad way. I don't like Halloween in New York. I don't like, in terms of like Sixth Avenue, I don't like being stuck on a street feeling like I can lean and touch a stranger. I'm on a subway seeing people in masks knowing that they feel very confident to hate crime me without any litigation, and West Hollywood on Friday was that for me. And I'm already complaining because I am Jewish, but before I continue to complain, can we let the listeners know how much of a star you are? Everybody, this is Peru Flores, such an incredible podcaster, comedian, writer, actor. You host Pioneers and Trailblazers. You had a show at Joe's Pub called White Savior. You very sweetly record an episode with me for your very podcast. So the fact that we get to do this with you, Peru, is so exciting. And I want to thank you for being you.
Thank you for being you. The crossover that everyone's been waiting for, first and foremost, let me just say.
I agree.
Thank you. If we could have been a Halloween costume duo, I don't know what we could have been. I'm trying to think of things we could have
Cold
been
Mountain.
Together.
I'd be the mountain.
And I'll be the well where they
did.
I'll be the well. They all the secrets, you know.
Everybody would know what we were immediately without even asking.
They would
Cold
know.
Mountain. last night I went to a party where there were five or six different gays dressed up as different Parker Posey characters. I thought that was really inspired.
I like the Parker Posey's, but have you seen all of this different Sabrina professions and hobbies? The Sabrina carpenters, Sabrina machine dishwash fixers. Have you not seen those? I'm not signing
well,
up for
this,
that.
I do think this year is an elevated year when it comes to gays and Halloween. I mean, first of all, the whole structural meme of I hate gay Halloween, blah, blank, blank, blank. I had a straight girlfriend text me saying, she's like, I think it's jumped the shark. I think it's gone too far. So, I mean, should we talk about what happened to me?
I mean, are we in a safe space? Any litigations pending? Do we need to worry about the litigations?
No lawyers are okay. On call, but I think that's partly why. I feel like we should take the opportunity to at least touch in on it. Can you tell me from your outside perspective, what do you think you would have felt if thousands of strangers said, look how ugly he is, and then 60,000 people liked those tweets? How do you think you would feel, and how do you think I should feel?
You know, I hate to play this a queer brown immigrant card, but you know,
play it, girl.
As a queer brown immigrant, I'm like, it is very triggering to see people just so incensed by something that like you have no, like, there's no control over the way we look or the way that we are just like thinking or wanting to present ourselves. And mind you, out of all things to like hate train on somebody, just wanting to do something silly, easy for how all these things that anyone can relate to, out of all the things to do to hate on it, it is bewildering to me. So please walk me through your experience A through Z, please.
Well, let me tell you that you make a good point that people chose to pile on something very crazy, which is my hairline, my face, and really just everything about how I look and
your existence.
My existence. And that's partly why I'm mostly okay, but I also have been like pockets of not okay. For anybody listening that doesn't know, I'm sure you do because I've been posting incessantly about it because that's the only way I've learned how to deal. But I posted my Inside Out Dad costume a week ago today. It was a Sunday.
Never forget.
Never forget, 8:30 a.m. on Sunday, whatever, October 20-something that was. And by 3 hours later, I was getting piled on by first, like, tens of people saying you look really ugly and you look like you're doing a bad job posting the Inside Out Dad. The Bulge, I think I thought was, like, a funny gay meme reference. Talk about, like, gays referencing niche things. And it just became that I was too old and ugly to dress up as what is considered a canonically hot character. So my first reaction was genuinely like, I've done something bad. Maybe I had like a secret racist caption. No, I checked the caption. It was not. Did I do something problematic in the picture? And then once I realized that everything checked out and it was just strangers being mean, I was able to enjoy the chaos of it. But if I'm really being honest, Peru, my worst day was on Wednesday of this week when it all had died down and I was just left with the images of people saying how ugly I was. And then I like looked at myself in the mirror and I was like, am I fat and ugly? Which again, I don't think I am, but like it's impossible not to feel that way when that many people are saying those things about you. So now I'm like, I'm just like genuinely so happy that Halloween's over. That's how I feel right now. I'm sure I'll continue to process it. But I'm mostly feeling like all press is good press, and I'm so grateful that so many people got to see that That's a Gay Ass Podcast exists. But again, I am grappling with the visual of the mean comments and trying to like parse through what I feel about myself and how I should internalize any of it, which I should not internalize any of it, but it's impossible not to. Was that an okay explanation, Peru? Was that too much?
Very succinct, and thank you so much for that. It really is getting us really in your brain. But as far
thank
as
you.
Number one, as performers and J-Lo's the hustlers that we are, both you and I, that should yes. be my Halloween costume, J-Lo and the hustlers. Ramona.
I still think that she should have received an Oscar nomination for Hustlers.
Don't
Sorry.
Even get me started. Sue me. We cannot go on a tangent about Hustlers and the fact that Ms. J-Lo got snubbed. And now we're trying to make up for it by trying to give her some praise for Kiss of a Spider-Woman.
Which I haven't seen yet.
I mean, I heard it's campy in all the ways. Talk about polarizing opinions. Talk about hate trains. People, you should call J-Lo. We should have J-Lo on. Because out of anyone who will understand being piled on with shit
That's
comments,
true.
you were the J-Lo of Halloween. And guess what? I'm Team J-Lo and I'm Team Pixar Daddy.
Thank you so much, Peru. And you know what? I talked to somebody last night and they did give me a very good reframe. And the reframe was that this was a test from the universe to see how you respond to hate trains. Much like J-Lo has dealt with hate from the start. People told her she was a bad actress from the jump. And I think The Wedding Planner is one of the best films of all time.
Just the charisma and like star power that J-Lo has on screen.
Hey, gay-ass girlies, I just read a romance horror book that I think you'd be absolutely obsessed with. Listen to this. It's called House of Rain by New York Times bestselling author Harley LaRue. And at first I was nervous it would be too scary, but y'all, it's scary and horny. And as a newly self-identified slut, I feel seen. Also, it takes place on a remote island in the Pacific Northwest, which I think the Pacific Northwest canonically has the hottest people. So if that doesn't make you squirt, babe, I don't know what will. Also, the book has so many gay-ass themes. I'm talking family drama, there's rumors, manipulation, and again, it's horny as hell. Now, the writing is also so good that it moves real fast and there's kink in it, and you will not be able to put this down. Harley LaRue is a queer writer who gets it. You can find House of Rain by Harley LaRue wherever books are sold, in print and an ebook. The gorgeous deluxe hardcover first printing is only available for a limited time, so grab yours before they are gone, babe.
I think, and listen, it's so ironic that you mentioned this, because J.Lo first got her hate train, I believe, as soon as people realized that she was a threat and that she was starting to take over conversation, and people did. And listen, she was the first powerhouse Latina who was out there at the Grammys wearing that Versace dress that everyone in the world, even to this day, know about it. I'm sure there was some I hate Halloween costumes. Because what do you mean you're J-Lo at the Grammys? Like, there were so many.
That dress, I think, you know, we talk about on the pod, of course, what made us gay. And I do think that the green tits out Versace moment, it was, I don't know how old I was when that happened, but I just remember being like, so in awe and had just only respect for my queen who was going on that red carpet and not afraid to make a statement. And to your point, you know, she received so much hate from that and slut shaming. Talk about the slut shaming.
Of course. And slut shaming from like a Latina's perspective too, because it's just like, oh, so like the white skinny-licious girlies get to be sexing show full back. But then with the Latina who has no wherewithal with like her curves and how she was born and freaking like, so now we're like, oh, trying to like freaking like, right. You know, cure, like, no, we're not doing that. And then she had the audacity to try to be, a full on pop star after doing Selena. And when I tell you, even to this day, again, we're okay with mid white musicians or any mid kind of content. But then somehow J-Lo has to be extraordinary at everything. And just because she's like an okay singer and okay, then we're just like, she should go kill herself. I'm like, y'all need to relax. Exactly.
People really do need to relax. And I do think that we cannot discount the campiness of her at the inauguration singing, "Let's get loud," to "This land is your land." I think she knows what she's doing. And to her, again, queendom, we respect that this is a woman who has taken every single troll, every single hate train, and disregarded it. And listen, I don't know what she is like to service people. I hope she's gracious. I hope, you know, I don't... Oh, have you... Oh, stop it. Tell me. What happened?
Let me tell you. And this doesn't even have anything... Number one, not rude. I will debunk that right now.
Yay!
It's not rude. Not rude. She likes red meat. She's a steak eating girly. She's a carnivore. She likes her protein.
Listen, we're setting the record straight. J-Lo setting the likes straight. Red meat.
She likes red meat. And when asked how she likes her meat cooked, she said, "Cook it good." In a quote, quote, unquote, "Cook it good."
And you have to guess what that means.
And you know what? She knows that you should know what good is. So you know what? She's you know, not even going to venture and tell you.
We love a queen who sets up an obstacle course to her servers. Yes. Cook it good.
Cook good. You're like, oh my God, good. You're like Googling it. What is good? As we know, obviously medium rare to medium is the perfect temperature. Thank you. And she was there with lunch. She had like three bodyguards with her. She would not stop smiling. She's not very much like an eye contact queen. But to be honest, when you're that level of famous, I feel like eye contact can be pretty intimidating. I would venture out and say, because then like, I don't know, like you're so used to seeing everyone look at you. I think that like the whole idea of stars not making eye contact should be also debunked, because it has to be difficult to register literally like hundreds of eyeballs on you. It has to be a lot. So you kind of have to be able to deflect. And again, also like eye contact is an invitation, you know? And so like, if you don't want to engage with somebody, like the most natural, like I live in New York City. When you're in the subway train and there's someone who's being suspicious or acting erratic, what's the first thing you do? Make eye contact with them? Right. No. You try to divert eye contact to not engage. So this is also a viable mechanism. Rule number one, two, and three, honey.
Don't make eye contact. So then to make it a full circle, I, you know, am embarrassed to admit that when I did go out for Halloween, on actual Halloween, a week after all this happened, I was like, I was worried about like, you know, if I was going to be clocked as the ugly inside out dad. How do you think I should look back on this? Like, what do you think will be a year from now, thinking back to the time that this all happened. What do you think this will be framed as? What do you think? Do you have any advice for me? What do you
listen,
think?
This is gonna be like the next Britney Spears movement, like Free Eric, you know, like you're gonna have your CBS morning, you know, like expose on Sunday, you know, you're a year from the day they're gonna Gayle King's gonna be interviewing you, being like, Eric, how did you feel looking back? Do you feel like it was warranted? And honestly, like I say, even like when like any of your clips, like I've had like a couple clips go like very viral, and then like people are always trolling on the comments. I'm the first person, Eric, to respond to every single troll.
Oh.
Because I've learned in the essence of like, I don't know, like I'm from the spirit of like the Bianca Del Rios, the Joan Riverses, the Kathy Griffins, who are just like, you know what? Like, we are just going to double down. And if you have a hate, I'm just going to try to out troll you. So I literally engage.
I do think that there is a world that I could figure out how to do that. I mean, you're not alone. There's another amazing comedian that I love that's done the pod, Anna Naya. Her show Gaydar is amazing. And she posted the Honey Bunches of Oats woman as her Halloween costume.
Yeah.
And it was beautifully done. But some people were trolling her on Twitter. And all of her clapbacks, I thought, were just chef's kiss. Just so beautifully done. And I do think I try to take the route of like, I don't have the time or the energy to clap back at all these people, but I do think there is a world that there's like a strength in trolling back the trolls. But listen, I think because the time is ticking and I want this paywall to go up so we can really get into horny conversations. You have so many great horny conversations on your podcast, Pioneers and Trailblazers. You call your listeners townspeople. And the townspeople are very much used to you talking about Bush, talking about hookups that go awry, talking about... I mean, can you clear up for the listeners here, Nick Rosenthal is your co-host on the pod currently, yes or currently no?
Currently no. So Miss Nick, shout out Miss Nick Rosenthal, a clown face bitch on TikTok. I'm
such
sure
a fan,
a lot of
such a fan.
Big diva energy. Also someone who's very in the know about trolling comments. And so there's like a dynamic too. Like she's not really one for engaging because she understands that like social media is just not real. So these people, for all we know, are just Russian trots or Chinese bots.
Right.
But like I'm very much like I'm a troll myself. So I'm just like I'm just gonna out troll the trolls. But Nick took a step to, you know, focus on some like mental health and privacy and just having her like JLo no eye contact era right
good,
now.
Good, good, good.
But I'm having, you know, my just like everyone see every single inch of my body for free, for free. But we do have a couple seasons from the Pioneers and Trailblazers in which we have been just, it's only us talking about literally all of our hookups in detail, which is the reason why, like, I don't think we could ever get monetized on that platform because, like, we're so candid on, which I think is okay. I don't care.
I think it's okay.
Yeah.
I'm, like, not a businesswoman, and so the fact that I'm able to, like, have this podcast still running and have this Substack, which, by the way, huge thank you to everybody who is here on Substack. My paid subscribers are fucking icons, legends, and the moment. And since we are shouting them out, let's get into my first horny question for you, Peru, which is, do you have any horny hookups or dating moments that are very memorable that come up as something that was either salacious, delicious, dangerous, controversial, memorable in any way?
You said salacious, delicious, and dangerous, which, by the way, is going to be my new Grindr headline.
Please, run with it, honey.
I'm running with it. You said dangerous, and one thing came to mind, and it's that one time that on Valentine's Day, I basically broke my ex-boyfriend's penis.
Oh, no, I've heard of that happening.
Oh, trust. Happy Valentine's.
Were you sitting down, and then you went...
I mean, it's a whole thing. I like had flown out to Ohio from New York because we were doing long distance for a little bit while he finished school. So, cute. Of course, the first thing on my brain is just like, as soon as I land, I gotta have you. I need to get.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't know if I can cuss or get really graphic right now, but like,
do it.
But Deep, I was like, I need you inside me. So I was like, I was texting him and I was like, hey, listen, as soon as I land, the first thing we're gonna do is we're gonna get in your car. We're gonna pick up some Chipotle on the way to your home because I want to have a meal ready.
After. Right.
Listen, I'm a woman who thinks. Again, I'm JLo's the hustler. I got to make sure.
10 steps ahead.
10 steps ahead. We're like, we're gonna fuck so good. You're gonna fuck me in every which position. And then as soon as we're done, we're gonna get some Chipotle and we're gonna watch some Netflix. I was so horned up for him that we were on his bed. We were doing like the spread. It was like Chicago. Spread it will pop, squish, Cicero Lipschitz everywhere. And then I'm like a really like adventurous girly in which like I'm down to clown and try like different positions. So yeah. Like, even if it feels weird or it doesn't ever work out, like, I'm down to just, you know, like, do anything.
Right.
So we were, like, doing, like, Cirque du Soleil. And then I was like, I'm gonna get on the floor and then...
For the rest of this interview, head to Substack, linked in the description. You can also watch bonus episodes with Mikey Graceffa from Death Becomes Her, Isaiah Rutledge, Sunset Boulevard's G-Min Moon. We have Derek Cage, Patrick, Nick, Thanos, Mark, they're all hot, the stories are amazing, and you should go check it out at substack.com/@EricWills, linked in the description. I love you, bye!